Business Brain, episode 580 for Casual Friday, September 6th, Fight Procrastination Day, 2024. Welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take a couple of ideas, we tweak them, we analyze them, we tune them, we use them. Do we tune the ideas? Well, sometimes we use those ideas to tune our business brains, too, so that we can each keep living those charmed lives. Here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And I'm out here in Northern California. I'm Shannon Jean. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Happy Fight Procrastination Day.
Yeah, that's interesting. We're going to do a show about procrastination because I've read some interesting arguments that lately that it's actually a good thing that forces you to cogitate longer and come up with certain actions. I haven't researched it enough to know whether it's true or not, but
this year I have been doing a lot of personal research on procrastination. I am a default procrastinator.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah.
And I've learned, at least for myself, that the thing that fuels that procrastination is anxiety, not anything else. And stress. If I find that I have too many things to do, I will procrastinate, which seems obvious. Yeah.
I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning thinking of, okay, I got to do this. I'm building this website for this person. Yeah. I got to do these action items for this client. I got to do this or that. And there was just no way I was going back to sleep.
Yep.
I couldn't do it.
Yep.
And I realized the reason I bring it up is your point about when you have all this stuff stacked up. And, you know, I don't have a great dashboard that I could look at.
For your life, you mean?
Yeah. Like in a web browser, that would be like all my projects and timelines. And every time I try to find something like that, it takes so much time to enter the data.
Yeah.
It's almost not worth doing.
Yeah, capturing the data into those things is something I will procrastinate better than any other task. Yeah,
yeah, that's I'll start it and go, I'm not going to do that. No. This is ridiculous.
I wonder, if I were to hire a virtual assistant to do that for me, and I'm paying them to, you know, as one of their tasks to manage my dashboard, would I be more apt to feed them that data and have them build that dashboard for me?
How would you feed it to them? Like talking like this?
Either talking or just when it comes up, just firing off notes to them and being like, add this to the dashboard, add this. And then maybe we meet for, you know, 2 hours a week to organize the dashboard. I don't know. Like that might.
That's interesting. I mean, I have a great.
I haven't tried it yet. I can't say that.
Yeah. I have a great assistant that she's my content manager, but eventually I think she will move up and be kind of the chief of staff type person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she picks out as we're meeting and does stuff. She does it, but we're still struggling. Like we were using Notion, which is an incredible platform and has all this great stuff. But I don't know that is what I'm looking for in this kind of dashboard. So we're still looking for stuff, but I do like that idea. I know one content creator that has an hour meeting every day with a different person.
Okay.
And they disseminate all that data and create content with it or take action otherwise with it. So you could, you know, try something like that. It could be kind of interesting.
Really what I want is my device, whatever it is, to capture that stuff and make sense of it for me. We're not there yet. Like
we're getting close.
The tech isn't there, but we're on the path. What I really want is Jane from Ender's Game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Have you seen this product called Crush the Memory?
Uh-uh.
You should check that out. That's interesting. It was a Kickstarter, and I spoke with the guy who's making it. He's made a bunch of other products, but it's basically a very small little dongle. It doesn't listen. You have to press the button. That's one of the differences between some of these new AIs that listen all the time.
Okay.
But it takes action. Yeah. And it is, what I like about it is I'm often not in a position to grab my phone to create a note or whatever, this kind of thing. So this small device, does it in a little different way. Number one, it's also waterproof or water resistant, or whatever they call it now. So you can have it out everywhere. I just don't know whether I will carry a separate device.
Yeah, it's but one more thing.
One more thing, but it is small. I like how it's not listening all the time. And I mean, and what is it? Is it $100 or something like that? I
mean, somewhere in there.
So it's a, there's some different things you can get.
$95
I mean, it's a pretty inexpensive experiment to jump into a quasi AI type management.
It doesn't know enough the software. I want it to like know about my calendar and my email. Yeah. Like,
I agree.
I think if we're going to have these things or this functionality, whether it's separate, it can't be a separate device, but you know, if it's, we also need to change our privacy laws.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the information that I give to this, you know, brain augmentation assistant, it can't be used against me. I just need it to remain private.
The private cloud, right?
The private cloud.
Limitless is another company that has, is it Limitless? I think it is. But anyway, they have this thing they're called the private cloud where it's totally encrypted and they can't even access it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So I think you're right. I think we're getting there. And for people like us, it's going to be amazing.
Game changer.
You know,
I found earlier today a game changer. You know about informed delivery with the Postal Service where you get an email every day?
Yeah, they scan. I didn't know this, that the Postal Service scans every envelope that runs through their system. And the informed delivery, they send you pictures of that, right?
They'll send you pictures and you get a whole summary. Well, I love informed delivery. I have it. It's awesome. Most of the time, I don't need to look at it because I'm going to see it in the mailbox later that day.
There you go.
Right? Like, it's going to be there. But if we're looking for something in particular, whatever, it's nice to be able to wake up and say, okay, yeah, that's going to arrive today. Okay, things are good. We have a P.O. box for the business. And up until very recently, like today is the day I found out about it, I kept trying to get informed delivery active for my post office box, and it was a no. Today I went in to ship something and print a label, and it was like, hey, by the way, informed delivery is available for your PO box for your business.
Was
like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So
now you can see whether you have to go down there to get it.
That's the thing is we don't get a ton of mail there, but when we do, I want to go get it. So I can't see it yet. You know, it's the Postal Service. So there's a whole thing. They're going to mail me something to the P.O. box in 3 to 7 days that has a code in it that I got to go type into the website. They won't tell me when that's in the P.O. box, though. I have to go figure that out.
Yeah. We use it at our house because our house is up on a hill and the mailboxes, there's like three houses on this road.
Sure.
And the mailboxes are all out, you know, way down the road. So you can, do I need to go down? I think we go down there once or pick it up once or twice a week.
Yeah.
But when you get that, like this morning, Renee pointed out, oh, this thing showed up. I'll go pick it up.
I'll go get it. Yeah, it's great.
Handy.
No, it's great. Yeah. I did notice I have several USPS accounts, a couple for the different businesses and then a personal one. And then I also created a personal one for the PO box. And that one won't let me subscribe. It has to be a business account tied to a PO box. The personal account without a business tied to it
won't
let me do informed delivery yet. But hey, you know, baby steps. At least
take what you get.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, so we had a guy. We've mentioned this guy on the show. I think he was like, I don't know, in the first couple of hundred episodes that we've done.
Yeah,
Brian Friss.
Yes,
and he made this comment that really resonated with both Dave and I. I've mentioned it, you know,
countless
hundreds of times. Yeah, countless times. And it was, first he said, which I really respected, is that, hey, we're all afraid. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. You know, vulnerable.
It's a natural response. Yeah.
But then he followed up with like, you know, but we have to learn not to make fear-based decisions. And I just remember thinking, man, that's such a powerful piece of advice. If you can stop yourself in the moment and be self-aware.
Yes.
But you have a different take on it a little bit. Maybe the counter to that.
I heard myself say something this week. And what I said was, I'm concerned about that. And I sort of stopped and thought, okay, like, that's okay. obviously there are things that are going to go well and there are things that are not going to go well. And it's like, it happens. But what I noticed was, as I said, I'm concerned about that. It was like, all right, now let's come up with ways to address and avoid the scenario that might come to pass if we were to leave things on autopilot, for example, right? So that concern was a productive thing. What I didn't say, and what I noticed that I didn't say, was I'm afraid about that. So it's the concern versus fear. Now, I think concern is, I think it's a version of fear, right? They're very related, certainly. But, there's degrees of being afraid. And the concern felt like a productive version of fear. I mean, fear is meant to protect us, right?
It is.
Fear is meant to keep us from being eaten by a lion, right? That's where it is at our core. And that's super helpful and very necessary. Most of us will never encounter a lion. And so I also have this thing. I'm getting there.
Yes.
I had an issue 5 years ago. It doesn't matter, where I fell and I wound up bruising my diaphragm.
Okay.
And this was an immense amount of pain. I could either talk or sit down or stand
both.
Up. I couldn't do both, right? I couldn't stand and talk.
Brutal.
Right. And I remember, and it only lasted for about a day, the severe pain from it. But I was on my couch and I knew that I had to sneeze.
Oh.
And I wasn't, or a cough or something. I think it was a sneeze. And so I tucked myself into a ball thinking I'm either going to pass out or throw up when I cough or sneeze or whatever's going to happen here. But I'm not in control of that. Right. And so I prepared for this and I sneezed or coughed or whatever it was I had to do. And I didn't pass out, nor did I vomit. And I thought in that moment, okay, I still, even though this is the most pain I've ever been in my life, I still haven't hit 10 on the 1 to 10 pain scale, right?
Okay.
Because 10 would be the moment where your body sort of takes over, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't. Since that moment, I have realized that my relationship to pain has fundamentally changed. Things that I thought were painful before that moment don't register as being all that painful. And it's because my brain didn't know what my body was capable of. And it still doesn't know. I could say that was a 9 that day, but maybe it was a 7. Maybe I can take even more, right? I don't know. And so, but I do know, I remember joking to my wife in that moment. It's like, if I've ever answered higher than a 3 or a 4 on those 1 to 10 scales, I'm going to need those pages back and correct them. Because I'd never experienced anything like this. And
it's a new baseline.
It's a new baseline. And I think fear works the same way because we have not experienced, I have not experienced being chased by a lion and literally fearing for my life in that moment. I don't have that. I don't know what amount of fear I am capable of. And because of that, these amounts of fear that I do experience seem larger than they probably are.
Sure. We always, your
million-dollar mistake, right? You aren't afraid of that kind of thing anymore because you aren't as afraid of that kind of thing anymore.
Because you got to the other side.
You got to the other side. You survived it.
And
there's these things that as we have experience and as we have failures, we learn, we don't have to be as afraid. And I think that's why I noticed when I said, I'm concerned about this. I'm not. And it was like, 10 years ago, I might have actually been actually afraid of this. But it's like, I've learned that this is going to be okay. But we have to address it. We can't ignore it.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
We can address it.
It's manageable,
capable,
right?
It's manageable.
It's manageable.
It's like we can solve problems with more sales thing. It's like you say that because you've done it.
Yeah, that's right. For me, I have a couple of comments. One is the trick I use in my head is I often think about what right after it happens.
Yes.
Where will I be? I'm speaking in front of 500 people today. Yeah, that's not the most comfortable thing. But you know what? By 4 o'clock, I'll be driving back home.
Yes.
And it'll be done. And I'll be chilling. I'll relax and come home. So
I do the same thing. When I'm about to do something, I say, well,
yeah,
in 90 minutes, this will have ended.
That's exactly right.
It will have ended. Those are the words I say. And it's like, well,
yeah, it helps.
Okay.
It helps. Whether you're going to do a meeting, an interview, whatever it is. And the other thing, you know, that I think about fears, like I have a significant fear of failure. And so that does get me to make decisions based on that. But yes, it's on the flip side, right? It doesn't hold me back. It pushes me forward because, you know, for years when I used to drive to work in the morning, there was this guy, homeless guy on the side at the 7-Eleven on the side of the road. And we were going to my warehouse. And over the years, I just kind of saw his condition. You know, it's rough living on the street,
yeah,
right? And this guy
terrible.
Looked this and everything. Man, I thought, boy, that could be me, man. If I had made some, you know, bad decisions, or if I took my foot off the gas, and, you know, I really value the life that I've lived. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but it's taken a tremendous amount of work. Thankfully, I enjoy that work, but I still to this day have this, it motivates me every day. I have this fear of failure. I don't want to fail. I have this new thing. You're not watching it, or if you're not watching this, but I got this, you're not gonna be able to see that, but I'll read it to you.
It looks like a fortune from a fortune cookie.
Yeah. You will soon embark on a lucrative business venture. And I'm just like, oh, great. Here we go again.
Yep.
And I love it because
it's that abundance mindset.
Yeah.
That there's enough out there for all of us.
Oh, the pie is infinite.
Yes.
And you can just keep slicing it up and developing something else, keep building.
Yep.
And so, you know, I don't make fear-based decisions in the sense that, oh, I'm afraid something bad will happen or whatever. But I do make fear-based decisions of, man, I got to get up. I got to hustle. And I've achieved some stuff in my life and at some level, but there's a lot more I want to do. And I constantly tell myself, everything you want is right on the other side of taking that action.
Yes. Because I'm like you, I fear... It drives me, the fear of failure as a permanent state drives me.
Yes. Oh my God.
Right.
Gosh.
Like the fear
Could
you
of imagine?
The fear of failing.
No, I fail all the time, but.
But that's different than failure.
That's different.
Like in my mind.
To be a failure.
The fear of being a failure. That's the thing that drives me.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I will always admit, everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't care what people think. I care what people think. I can't not care what people think. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially my wife and my kids. So my mom, you know.
Yes. I mean, the people that matter to you. You care what they think.
People all around me.
Yeah.
I want to be seen as a success. Who doesn't?
Mm.
And so this concept, if I failed in some huge negative way and could not recover, that's what allowed me to continue to build my company as I paid back $1 million from a massive mistake that I made. So that fear is powerful, man. I feel it in my gut.
That's the thing that drives me every day is the fear of being a failure, not the fear of failing.
Fear of being a failure. Yeah.
As a permanent state. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Do
and
you
I
find?
Look at it,
I was going to ask. Do you find yourself ever fearing success?
I never worried about stuff until I was very successful.
Yeah.
I felt rich my whole life when I had a pickup truck, and my wife. We were young, and man, I was working for myself. I was like, nobody told me it could be this good.
I know.
I remember
when I first made like 60 grand a year or something.
Dude,
and I was like,
you're killing it.
I was killing it. I had everything I wanted. Yep. Yep.
That's right. Everything. And so I've always felt rich and wealthy and this kind of stuff because I've lived that kind of a life.
It's that abundance mindset, man.
Yeah. But I never worried about money until I had it. Then I was like, what if I lose it? What if I lose? And I was like, that's stupid. So that was one of the reasons why when we had big revenue events, we always got rid of that. It never sat in where I had my accident. I would go buy some assets. Buy another rental, invest in the thing, put it with the investment advisor. Don't even look at it.
Yep.
Because I don't want to look in the bank. I think it gives you that, it's easy to get complacent when you're looking at a lot of money, and it's easy to spend a lot of money because you're like, oh, I can afford that.
Yeah. Any amount can be a lot of money. Right. It doesn't matter. It's all relative. Yes.
I get excited when I get a $100 bill. Are you kidding
me?
I'm totally that way.
Yep.
My wife's like, oh, just sold a pair of shoes, made $50. I'm like, dude, that is awesome.
Great. Yep. Yeah, no, I felt great walking out of these gigs this weekend. I actually got paid in cash the first time.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's sweet.
There was one gig where the band leader was paying us in front. It was a private party at a campground. It was awesome. The gig went great. I had forgotten what the total number was that the band was being paid. I know that I was told it initially, like, you know, everything's transparent, but he divvied up the money and handed it to each of the, there's four people in the band. So he handed us, the three of us, our share.
Yep.
And the people who hired us were standing right there, and so he didn't go through in detail,
of course,
what the breakdown was, for obvious reasons. And so he just handed it each to us. He's like, yeah, I divvied it up. He's like, I took rent for the rehearsal space out of it, and he's like, it's all fine. And it's like, okay, great, no problem. And I put it in my pocket, and so I was putting it in my pocket, I was like, god, this is only like four bills, like, that seems like, I thought, and I saw one of them, I saw it was, you know, a pile of 20s. I'm like, it's only $80. Okay. It's like, whatever. Sure. I get to my car and I pull it out of my pocket. I'm like, oh no, it's way more than $80.
Okay, oh, that's good.
This is great. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
But it was like, you know what? I had fun. $80, whatever. Like, that's fine.
Hey.
Great. Oh, sure. Yeah. No problem. And then I look at the car. It's like, oh, bonus.
yeah. That's cool. That's a great, it's an abundance. It's like, and I think that abundance framework also, I think it just makes you feel valuable, right? Everybody wants to feel valuable, have purpose, all that kind of stuff. But when, like, I love giving away information. I love doing this show. I mean, we have sponsors, from time to time. Usually, we haven't had a few lately, but I know we have some more coming on.
Been tight, but Q4 will fill back
fall
up.
Coming around. Yep. But I never wanted to do this to make money. No. You know, it was like, I just want to come on and talk. And number one, validate, are these things, I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years. So is this stuff real? Is it true? Or what am I missing? That's why we always ask you, the listeners.
What are we missing?
Did we get it wrong? You know, send a feedback at businessbrain.show. Tell us, help us. And I always comment, I learn the most on this show. And a lot of it is thesis and ideas and concepts that I want to
flush out.
The focus
on it. It's we talk about, there's the whole concept of working in your business versus on.
That's right.
This is on. This is the working on part of the working on your business.
I used to record this show in my office at Tech Restore. I would close my door and say, guy, and I put the recording on. And so I would stop. And at that time, we were doing hour long shows, and we would just talk about business for an hour. It really helped me reset, kind of think about all this stuff. So, no, it's cool. I definitely appreciate it. So, love to hear what you folks have to say about this, fear, managing it for good and bad and everything else. Feedback at businessbrain.show, or you can come up on X and send us a DM. BizBrainShow is our X handle.
Yeah, come find us. Hopefully these chats are as valuable for you as they are for us. And let us know. Feedback at businessbrain.show. Keep living that charmed life. We'll see you next week.